Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discovery. Coming to you from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Hey, welcome to today's show. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan. Fabulous guest today, Jennifer Kelton. We're going to be talking about dating in the 21st century, specifically her new book, Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel. Fabulous, fabulous guest coming up today. Now, I urge you to go to the website, that's journeyswithrebecca.com, and there you're going to find all the latest Journeys news, events, and happenings, as well as some additional information on today's guest, as well as all the upcoming shows and guests that we will be having. There will also be a schedule there, so check it out. We do update that website several times a week. Also, do not forget to sign up for the free Journeys newsletter. Your privacy is always kept in mind. And we get those out once a week to let you know what the upcoming shows are going to be and any other special announcements that we feel you might want to know. Also, please, a special thanks to my sponsor, and that is Fate Magazine. Please reach them at www.fatemag.com and check out their special that they have going on right now. So, before further ado, we will be coming back here shortly with Jennifer Kelton in Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel. It is the stain-free guide for dating and mating in the 21st century. Stay with us, because we're going to be right back.
Questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
And again, thanks for joining us today here on Journeys with Rebecca. And as we talked about earlier, my guest today is Jennifer Kelton. And the book that we're going to be talking about today is Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel. And it's the stain-free guide for dating and mating in the 21st century. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know, I have to tell you, when I got this book, I was reading it. The cover really just, the stain-free guide for dating and mating in the 21st century. I was like, oh, I've got to read the book. And I did. I opened up the pages and read it. But how did you come up with a title like that? That is just so funny.
Well, you know, it was an interesting time in my life. I had ended a long-term relationship, and I went back into the wild west of dating. And
that's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, you know, I was just on the verge of turning 40, and even just having that number attached to me when I would be out there, it really changed just how I was perceived and the climate, and then also the age of men. It was interesting, and that's a whole other conversation. But what ended up happening was a gentleman who I was seeing just sort of rather casually one night, he used my sweater in a rather inappropriate way, so to speak, and I didn't realize it until I had woke up in the morning to go hang my sweater up, and I looked at that and I thought to myself, you know, this is about respect. You know, this is people are so disrespectful to one another at times, and I hadn't had a title of the book picked out at that time, and I thought, you know what, that's going to be the title of the book, Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel, because ultimately, we all want respect, you know, we want to have respect from other people, it's important to be respectful to yourself, and it's important to respect the world around you, and so the title is really metaphoric to that, and you know, just starting with that in any relationship that you have.
And, you know, I think that's a really good point, is at first, if you don't respect yourself, it's very difficult to have others respect you as well.
Exactly.
And so, you know, as I was reading your book, the one thing that I did recognize about you, Jennifer, was the fact that you did have respect for yourself, even when you got yourself in certain situations with certain people that were out of character for you. But, you know, as you go through the process, you realize, you go, oh, that was her process she was going through to see if it's kind of like testing the waters. Is this something that I want for myself? Is it not? And so through your whole journey, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, about, you know, what this book really is entails as far as the information is going. But, you know, ultimately in that particular part of the book, when the next morning, I was just laughing and almost crying at the same time. I was laughing because it was humorous in its content, but in its context, it was very, very sad. So
exactly.
It's the disrespectful thing. You know, somebody else looking, you know, looking through the mirror, so to speak, or looking through the window, that would have witnessed that, would have laughed. However, had it happened to them, they would have went, oh, my goodness, what is this about? This is not what it's about at all.
No, it's not. You know, it's interesting because I have a picture of the actual sweater up on my website, and I've made it humorous, but it's also an important article of clothing in that it is about respect, you know, and that, you know, we shouldn't be out there, you know, treating one another as a towel, you know. We shouldn't be wiping up each other's, you know, ugh, you know, with it. So
that's right.
Yeah. It was definitely a journey writing the book as well. It was 12 months of me documenting my dating life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the messy, obviously. And, you know, I didn't sugarcoat anything in there, which I felt was really important, because a lot of the other relationship books out there, you know, they're telling people what to do. They're not really focusing on what it feels like out there, and I also think that a lot of the books don't write things necessarily that people are going to resonate with and that they've had similar experiences. I think a lot of the stuff I talk about in the book are things that people might not have had that exact experience, but it's things that they can resonate with and go, you know what, it wasn't exactly that, but it was something similar, and yeah, that's, you know,
right, or it evoked certain emotions or responses that you yourself felt. Because as I was reading your book, I was like, oh yeah, I've was with somebody like that once, not identical, but you know, it's like, yeah, I resonated with it, absolutely,
yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think that's important. I think as far as the process of learning about what's good for you and what's healthy for you and what ultimately you want out of your life, you have to go through these experiences, and you have to be able to really open up and feel them. And even if they're dark and twisty and ugly and uncomfortable, you still, you know, I think for ultimate growth, that's what you're going to grow the most from, are those experiences.
And, you know, I think we need to let people know that this is very recent for you. I mean, as far as, you know, the whole... I guess, you know, the 12 months that you spent in the research, and then, of course, the time prior to that, that was just in the year 2005,
exactly.
2004, 2005. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, modern day stuff, what's going on with people today. So I think that's another thing that people need to recognize when they're looking at your book, is like, well, yeah, and it's not coming at them like we talked about a little bit before we got started, from a PhD or an MD, somebody that really doesn't know what's going on. I mean, there's etiquette and there's propriety and there's things that we all need to, you know, that they're telling you to do, but that doesn't get down into the nuts and bolts of really how does the dynamics of the male-female dating ritual kind of thing, really, is it really going on in today's world in a regular city with regular people?
Yeah. You know, actually it was interesting because in the book I wrote a chapter, it's called Animals and Us, and I started really thinking about our DNA and our hardwiring and, you know, why we go out and why we do what we do, and, you know, here we are in the 21st century, and how different is it, you know, now as opposed to, you know, the caveman. And really surprisingly, and not so surprisingly, I came to the conclusion how ultimately we're just hardwired, and our genetics and our DNA, and there's really no way around that. So even if you drive a super fancy car, or even if you have the best shoes, or you know, the best designer clothing, it still comes down to something so basic and animal driven and pretty, you know, Darwinistic. And it's something that I think that we forget and that we don't really pay that much attention to on those levels, but it's all there. You know, actually in another chapter in the book where I get into the hormones, like lever dopamine, and I talk about how we're driven by our hormones. And as women especially, we have oxytocin, which anytime you're having any sort of sexual activity with a man, this is getting released into your bloodstream, which is a bonding chemical. And so even if you're dating somebody or you're, you know, having, you know, intimacy with somebody, and this is being released in your body, and he's completely wrong for you, you can become addicted to that person. And it's wow. Fascinating to think about how we all really ultimately are seeking the same thing, and how our chemicals play into this, and how our hardwiring, and that we really ultimately have a hard time getting around that. It's kind of cool, actually. To sit back and really look at it on a scientific level, which I did a lot in the book as well, to understand, you know, what goes on.
What drives us? What's the motivator? Why do we do these things?
You know, my theory is on it is that we all, and this is through doing the research for the book, and then also recently out doing all the book signings and radio and talking with a lot of people, it is that we all want to have companionship. We all want to feel loved, and we all want to feel safe. And again, I don't think there's an economics attached to that. I don't think there is any sort of age attached to that, or gender attached to that, or sexual orientation attached to that. I think it just is a very basic need that we all have. You know, it's interesting not to bring up a heavy topic, but the Virginia Tech shootings. The first thing I was watching the news before any of this other stuff came out about the tragedy, and I just thought he was a lonely guy. You know, he was lonely. And the more we look at that, we realize how isolated this man felt. And again, you know, going back to the hardwiring in our genetics and our DNA, I mean, what, again, I believe is that we all want to have companionship, we all want to feel loved, and we all want to feel safe.
And I can't disagree with that at all. I truly believe those are the basics for just anybody's survival, even in the basis of senses. I do. I truly do. I have to agree with you 110% on that one, Jennifer.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. They've done studies with children that have been born into orphanages, especially in the third bloc countries where it's incredibly poor. And they've done brain scans of the children and different parts of the brain that control love and emotion and bonding and the, you know, the intimacy connection parts of the brain. I don't know exactly what part of the brain it is, but I've seen the brain scans. Anyhow, those areas haven't developed. And as they've gotten older and as they have turned into, you know, toddlers and teenagers and, you know, middle-aged people or whatever they're turning into, they actually have some pretty severe emotional problems with just basically being able to connect because they weren't touched a lot as children or as infants.
You know, and I have actually done some research on that with the babies that are deprived of, you know, touch and that kind of thing, and they have shown how babies that are nurtured and loved and touched and stuff when they're first born, you know, through their very small months, you know, that they're here, how much more they flourish as opposed to those that aren't. So, you know, if you've noticed, and I don't know if you have, but in hospitals they do now allow even preemies to be picked up and held by their mothers and fathers and that kind of thing, because they do recognize on that level of how important it is in the very beginning of life for that touch, that nurturing aspect that is so inherently part of being human.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's amazing. I mean, and, you know, so we all go out there seeking, you know, partners and you know, seeking connection and, you know, whatever shape or form it comes in, and we can't get away from that. I mean, it's not something that you're going to wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm going to go to a therapist, and, you know, that whole concept's just going to be biologically driven out of my body. It's not, we're hardwired for this. And, you know, it's interesting because when you really start looking at the media as well and you realize how much of the media is built around, you know, sex and, you know, if you, you know, wear this cologne or if you, you know, buy these pairs of shoes or if you listen to this type of music, then you're going to get the guy or you're going to get the girl. And it goes, you know, it goes back to how we're all here, how we keep repopulating.
Yeah. I think my favorite commercial is one from Denmark where it shows, and I hope that I don't get in trouble for saying this, it's a Heineken beer and a Häagen-Dazs ice cream commercial. And the woman is sitting there and, you know, she's all got this sexy shirt on and stuff. And, you know, her and her, whoever, her husband or whoever it is having this very, you know, sexy moment of eating, sharing ice cream out of this Häagen-Dazs thing, you know. And, you know, she's getting ready for, you know, the part of their relationship that's going to be taking place. And then all of a sudden you hear the TV on in the background and then some sports show comes on and he reaches in the refrigerator and grabs a Heineken and goes and sits down and she's left with the ice cream. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I guess the Heineken or the sports took over the Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Interesting commercial, though. I mean, it was like, oh, my goodness, that's kind of really rude. But it is all about that whole premise right there, you know, about what you're eating, what you're wearing, what you're doing. And really, it isn't about that. It gets you get into the basics, and I was so glad. There's so many things I want to talk to you about today. There's a few things that I really, really resonated with, which was the smell thing and the pheromone thing. And then I loved your bachelor, the first one, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that whole thing, that was just pretty remarkable. I was like, yeah, I can relate to that, you know, the moldy bathroom and thinking, well, maybe he'll do something different. And ultimately, what I've learned through the years, obviously, is you can't change anyone. So you have to like the entire package or at least be comfortable in the entire package or it just doesn't work.
or it was funny. As I was away over the weekend and on my flight back yesterday, I was sitting next to actually a woman who is in law enforcement up in Canada. And interestingly enough, we were the same age. We're both 41, and we were talking about relationships, and we were talking about as you get older, how she was saying, oh, yeah, it's pretty hard for me now because I'm pretty selfish, and I'd be the first one to admit it. And I go, yeah, I say I'm selfish and stuck in my ways. And what I mean by that is that you really can't change somebody. So as you're saying, I mean, either you're going to take the package how it is, or, you know, you move on and you find somebody who you think is going to be more compatible. Because you do get to a certain point in your life where, you know, we all have our ways and you need to, if you want to be with that person, you just accept that. I will say there's a man who I've been dating a little bit recently, and he went out and bought the book. And he read the book, and he emailed me actually just yesterday that he had finished the book and that I didn't need to worry because he doesn't have a moldy shower curtain.
He wasn't much of a Jesus fan either, eh? Hey, Jennifer, why don't you hold on? You guys, everyone out there, hold on for just a minute. We're going to be right back with Jennifer Kelton. And do not use my sweater like a towel, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Fate magazine providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues at www.cdbaby.com.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall. Only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. And for those of you who are just tuning in, we're here with Jennifer Kelton talking about Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel. And it's the stain-free guide for dating and mating in the 21st century. And we left off on the last segment, Jennifer, talking about the new man that you're dating. I think that's really great. I want to, with the moldy shower, you guys just have to read the book to understand what that's about. It's really funny. But I wanted to kind of get back to somebody else there that you kind of referenced, and we don't have to give the names or anything, but the olfactory factor. One of the things that is very important is people's smell and how they present themselves. So the question is how do a sexy sweater, clean jeans, and perfume affect our levels of attraction?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, again, going back to the hardwiring and the DNA, is that the olfactory, your sense, which is your sense of smell, is one of the oldest parts of your brain. And when you think about it, our need for survival and our ability to smell the good milk from the bad milk and the good berries from the bad berries, spoiled meat from the not spoiled meat, how important that is to our basic need of survival. So in picking a mate or, you know, a partner or a friendship or, unfortunately, your family, sometimes you don't get to pick, but with, you know, people, even, you know, with friends, the sense of your smell is actually going to attract you to that person or not. I'm sure most people out there who are listening have had an experience where they've been someplace and they smelled somebody and they thought, you know, I don't like you, you know, or they smell somebody and they think, wow, I really like you, whether it's perfume driven or just a natural odor. It was interesting because I did do surveys for this particular chapter with men and women of all economics and age and, you know, just I ran the gamut, you know, with all different types of people on this. And pretty much most of the people said that if they didn't like the way that somebody smelled, that it would be a deal breaker. And that one of the other questions was is if they've ever had to tell somebody, you know, a partner that they smell bad, and pretty much everybody said that yes, they had. And it just, you know, shows the power of our sense of smell, which I don't think gets talked about that much or people really think about, because especially if you start walking through, you know, the pharmacies or your supermarket or, you know, a department store, and you realize everything has a fragrance to it. I mean, you know, your laundry detergent, your shampoo, your household cleaning products, You know, I think if you're, you know, you're using organic or natural products, not as much. You know, they might be naturally scented, but there's definitely a lot of synthetic scents out there. And in my findings and also with my own personal experiences, I think, anyhow, that it potentially could harm your chances of finding a potential mate because you're not actually, your essence of what you smell like isn't actually, you know, getting out into the universe. The gentleman, Dr. Oz, he's on Oprah quite a bit. He wrote You, the Manual. I hope I got that title right. I heard him talk about sense of smell on her show, and it was so refreshing to hear him say that he doesn't wear any kind of scent on him at all and that he prefers it that way because he wants to smell like how he smells. And we don't really pay attention to that. So, yeah, I think it's a, you know, wear deodorant. I mean, I'm not advocating that, you know, everybody should walk around and smell like, you know, they were on Survivor. But
good.
But I do think that there is a certain level of over-scenting that goes on out there. And
well, I can tell you that can be, for me, that can be just as a big of a turnoff as it is to have somebody that has subtle smells to them. There's buildings that I go into and I don't know if the women themselves can't smell, but the perfume that they're wearing, I mean, it stays in the hall for a half an hour after the person has left because it's so overwhelming. And I don't think many people do not find that attractive. I know that I don't find that attractive. And I think that you've hit the nail on the head there with that, because when I walk into my house, the first thing I'll do is I smell it. You know, and I think, oh, I need to, you know, I can actually smell the dust. I've got to dust my house.
Yeah, the interesting thing as well is that your sense of smell has a great memory to it.
Yes.
So you can smell something that maybe you haven't smelled in 10 years, and you can immediately identify that and go, oh, that, or a person who you haven't seen in 5 years, and they still smell the same. Oh, I remember that person's smell, or oh, the old new car smell, or whatever it is. I mean, the memory of smell is right off the top of my head. I can't remember, but it's in the, I think it's in the hundreds of thousands of memories that our brain holds in terms of the different smells. So it's important, you know, it goes back to, not to be redundant with this, but it does go back to hardwiring, it does go back to genetics, it goes back to our DNA, it goes back to basic survival. And if you're over-scenting, my belief is that there's a good chance that it might affect you in the world and how people are reacting to you, even all the way down to getting a new job. You know, if you go in, if you're overly scented, or you know, you've got a really strong odor on that your potential boss doesn't like, that's problematic.
Well, yeah, because see, that again, that goes back to what you were saying about how when you get next to somebody and you can smell them, if your sense of smell does not like that, that's an automatic dislike. So whether or not you're qualified for a job sitting in front of that potential boss, if they don't like the way that you smell, or if you're overly scented, that's a huge turnoff.
So it's a big problem.
It can be.
Yeah, it's and, you know, again, and then we'll like people because of the way they smell. You know, there's one guy who I talk about in the book. His name is Kevin in the book. And the first night we had gone out, I kissed him, and I could smell him on my scarf when I got home. And in the morning I woke up, and I'm smelling the scarf and feeling like a total dork, but I really liked his smell. And it wasn't a cologne smell. It was his own smell. And it was very powerful. And I had probably hormones being released in my body at that very moment, just based upon the fact that my body was, oh, I like the way he smells.
Yeah, it's that reaction.
And
that's who we are.
It is who we are. And it's important to remember that.
Well, I want to get back to it from the very beginning when you were talking about the chemical in women being released. And that can be an addiction. And, you know, it's like when you said that, I was like, oh, my gosh, just bells went off in my head. And, you know, whistles were blowing. I was like, that just makes so much sense with many. There seems to be more women that stay in relationships that are unhealthy for them, that are not appropriate, that aren't even good. And, you know, besides it being emotional, now what I'm hearing from you is that, wow, this could also be like a chemical addiction in a sense for them.
Well, it is.
So you have to give them awareness of this. It's like, oh, you know, forewarned is forearmed kind of thing. Now, how powerful information is that when a woman finds herself being attracted to somebody like a drug? And, you know, that's not her normal way of being. She needs to probably step back and go, oh, maybe this guy is, you know, dangerous for me.
Right. There's actually a quote I use in the book from, it's a woman, she actually writes porno, but that we'll leave that alone. But she said in there that, in her writings, that oxytocin is more powerful than heroin. And I believe that because you think to yourself, okay, I just had, you know, a relationship of some kind, physical relationship of some kind with a man, whether you've known him a day, a week, a month, and then all of a sudden you can't stop thinking about him. And when is he going to call? And why hasn't he called? And all of this stuff starts going on with you, and that a lot of that is just chemicals. A lot of that is the bonding chemical of oxytocin, which is what got you out there as a cave woman, you know, looking for a man in the first place.
So what can a woman do if she thinks that that's what's going on? What can be done, or have you gotten to that point yet? What could be done? Let's say a woman just went through that. Somebody out there is listening, and she's attracted to this guy. She can't quit thinking about him. She realizes that this is very unusual behavior for her.
I think awareness is, for me, when I read that, I was going through this experience actually with Kevin, the scarf guy who smelled good, and we clearly weren't right for each other, and I knew that, but for a lot of reasons I got hung up on him, and you'll have to get to the end of the book to find out. Okay. But I did come to the conclusion, I thought to myself, why can't I move on? Why am I just stuck here with somebody who is unhealthy for me? And I was laying in bed reading, actually, If the Buddha Dated. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. And she's talked about the oxytocin connection. The bells went off in my head. Oh, okay, so chemicals. And then actually the following chapter is Like Lover Dopamine, where I get in depth in terms of the serotonin, for men, testosterone, the dopamine, all the different hormones, and the different stages of like and lust and how this all plays into that. But the oxytocin is the first one that is going to get released into your bloodstream. So what do you do? Well, you have an awareness, and you know, again, you have to really take a look at yourself and go, okay, first of all, yes, I know the hormones are going on, but also, is there something else? Do I go for the unavailable person? Do I go for the person because it's a chase? Do I have a pattern? I mean, there's so many reasons, and we're all so individual and different that I would never put a blanket statement out there and say, this is why you're behaving the way you're behaving. But, you know, sometimes you got to take a hard look at that. But the chemical thing is a very powerful thing to know. My publicist and I were talking, and she was dating a man, and, you know, they were having relations. And first thing I said to her, I go, watch the oxytocin, you know, because that was the first thing. You know, you're going to start obsessing over this guy, and you've only known him for a short time. So keep that in check when you're pining away by the telephone wondering why he hasn't called. So, you
know,
do
men have any kind of a reaction like that, or is it just women?
You know, men, it's interesting because men are driven by testosterone, which got them out of the cave. I mean, we as beings would be very strange-looking creatures if we just all had sat around in the cave and multiplied there, right?
True.
Yeah. so that the testosterone, you know, gets men out, and there's that whole thing, you know, men. Ooh, I know, and this gets into kind of one of those icky places where men want to procreate and spread the seed, and the hardwiring for that is very true. And I wish I could be a little more. Oh, you know, they're gonna. You know, you're going to have this amazing night, and they're going to have the same bonding chemicals. They don't. They do have bonding chemicals, but they're different, and it's much
less intense.
Yeah.
On a lower level.
Yeah. Again, because of the way that they're hardwired. I mean, they're
well,
hardwired.
Well, let me ask you a question. In your surveys, in your research, because men do have a higher level of testosterone. You know, we all know people that have relationships and that you know, somebody steps out on the other. And I'm not trying to point fingers, but as an example, usually men are the first ones to step out of a relationship and have multiple relationships at the same time. Would it be because that their testosterone may be higher than, say, quote-unquote, an average person's that would maybe trigger that or keep them from the bonding chemical that they have from being, you know, higher, or it kind of mutes it? Does that make sense how I'm saying that?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's interesting because it's almost very, yeah, the testosterone definitely plays into that. And I think now with Viagra, that has changed things a lot as well for men because, you know, traditionally as men's testosterone would be dropping, they would not be as virile.
Right. Wouldn't be as apt to stray or take multiple partners, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So that definitely has changed the climate out there. But, you know, it's Darwinistic as well in terms of how men want to be perceived. And they are different. You know, they want to be, I see this mostly now as a 40-year-old woman dating. The age of men that ask me out, and I still date young guys. I mean, I still date guys in their like mid to late 20s, but not as frequently. The men who do ask me out more, though, are men in their 60s.
Uh-huh.
Which is very interesting to me, you know. And then I talk to women in their 60s, and they tell me that men in their 60s want nothing to do with them. So what does that tell you about the sort of how people want to be perceived and the survival of the fittest and, the, you know, that kind of, again, Darwinistic, the peacock, you know, the peacock who has the most beautiful feathers is the most, you know,
most
fertile,
revered in the troop. Yeah, right, right.
It's something... it's quite sad. I have actually, I'm going to touch briefly on this, I've started writing the next book, and I've been interviewing a lot of older women about what it's like to be dating out there, and it's sad. I mean, because they're telling me that, again, that the men who are within their age group don't ask them out and how invisible they feel. And inside, they still feel, these women still feel the same, and they still feel vital and you know, attractive. That men don't seem to want to be with women that age, so or their own age. They want younger women.
Wow, that is kind of sad. You know, obviously, you know, maybe it is with the Viagra, but it's also the perception, as you said. So again, it's like not making a blanket statement. It's making a statement. Who are these people, and you know what has brought them to this point? And, you know, what is their emotional makeup and what is driving them to do or to be with who they're choosing to be with. So this is all really interesting. This is all really fascinating. It really is. And, you know, unfortunately, Jennifer, we're just about out of time in this segment. So when we come back, we're going to be finishing up. We're going to also tell everyone here how to get your book and all of that. So you guys stay with us, and we're going to be right back with more of Journeys and Jennifer Kelton. Don't use my sweater like a towel.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journeys will take you.
The recording industry is at it again. They're attempting to shut down all internet radio stations. That is, unless they agree to pay them more money than the business could ever possibly make. Protect your right to the most diverse internet content landscape. Write or email your congressman and senator and ask them to work to repeal the decision of March 2nd by the Copyright Royalty Board. SaveNetRadio.org. Do it now. SaveNetRadio.org.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all the aspects of paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now, 1-800-728-2730. Again, that's 1-800-728-2730. Or visit their website, www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their tradition.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, thanks for staying with us. We're here with Jennifer Kelton, and we have been talking about Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel. She does give the real deal on men, women, and sex in this book, and this is absolutely a great, great book. Because also as the, like the little under caption, it's called The Stain-Free Guide for Dating and Mating in the 21st Century. And she does keep it real in the book. I did read it, most all of it. And I will tell you is that I was fascinated by your candor, Jennifer. I was fascinated that it was a no-holds-barred book. And, you know, obviously the show doesn't give itself to or doesn't lend itself to talk about everything explicitly in there. But it is really a very vibrant book, and for that I want to give you kudos. I do. And, you know, because of your research, you did run into some very strange situations. And I think with your expertise, so to speak, on this, I think what we want to do is, like, maybe give people an idea of how to identify certain types of people, what maybe we can do about it. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, bar scene versus online dating, maybe some of the books out there and that kind of thing, to give them some more information.
Okay, great. Well, let's start with online dating. The interesting thing is this is the first time right now that I haven't been doing online dating in a long time, and it actually feels quite nice. But, and that's only because you have to be careful with the online dating. There is a lot of people out there who are married and or who are just looking for sex, or who are a predator in some way, or, you know, and of course I have friends who have met men or women online and are married and have children and families, so there are great success stories as well. But I think that the most important thing with online dating is, regardless of what site you're using, is you have to understand that it's a numbers game, that the more you're on, the more likely you're going to meet somebody nice. And so you can't get too frustrated with it. You can't take things too personally. One of the main experiences I started having with online dating is I would come home and maybe I spent the afternoon and I sent out 10 emails to a guy who, oh, he seems so hot, and oh, I hope he emails me back, and then I wouldn't get anything back. And I was feeling rejected by my computer. Well, I've never met that guy before. I know nothing about him, and I'm feeling rejected by my computer. So I think these are important things to know, is that you don't know what's going on in that person's life who you're sending your emails to or who's contacting you. So to, you know, especially
not make assumptions.
Yeah, use caution and kind of take it with a grain of salt. Don't put too much emotional investment into it. And, you know, be willing to play the numbers. It's a lot of numbers and a lot of luck out there. And then when you meet somebody, of course, you meet them in a public place. You don't, you know, have them come to your home. You don't go to their home. And I'm not advocating that you Google every person that you're meeting online.
But, oh, I guess it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Or, you know, you don't have to spend, you know, $500 on a private investigator. But
just be smart about it.
Be smart.
Smart, be cautious, and be aware.
Yeah,
be
definitely
aware.
Be aware. And, you know, again, and in the beginning, don't take it personally, and don't allow your emotions to get too caught up into it, because it can be, your computer can all of a sudden become not friendly.
Right.
You know, you don't want to have a bad relationship with your computer.
No. It's done nothing. It just turns on.
But that would be my number one suggestion. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to run through this real quickly. As far as going out into the bar scene, which I am out pretty much most nights, I will say I go out by myself mostly, and I meet a lot of people, and that's primarily because I am approachable. I think for both men and women, if you're interested in meeting people, you know, Go out on your own. Don't be afraid. Or just go out with one other person, because if you're with a group of people, you look busy. You look unapproachable. I don't think that's the best way to do it. And, again, if you're exchanging numbers and if you're meeting somebody, meet them in a public place. There was one guy who I talk about in the book. He ended up being very stalkery. And by all accounts, he seemed like a sweet guy. He lived in the neighborhood. He had a good job. We, you know, went out and ate at some great restaurants here in town, and he just ended up being a complete nutbag. So be cautious. You know, I never showed him where I lived, and he never had my home phone number. So that was – I used caution with him, and it turned out that was to my advantage. Let's see. I think, you know, it's caution is your best policy with everything that you're doing out there. And it goes back to respect. You know, if you're respecting yourself, chances are you aren't going to do anything too silly.
And truly that is. If you look at this, not out of a sense of desperation, but a sense of who you are and what it is that you're looking for, because it's always a two-way street, Jennifer. And I think a lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
That it's not just about you looking or them looking, it's about you looking as well. So it has to be mutually conducive. So, you know, definitely, whether you're male or female, be respectful of yourself when you are out there in the dating world. And you know, you talked briefly about some of the other dating books and stuff. You did give some information there on some that were good for people, but being said, where do we get yours?
You can purchase mine at Borders, all the Borders stores, at Barnes & Noble, also online, Amazon.com, Borders.com, BarnesandNoble.com, through AtlasBooks.com, and also through my website. And if people would like to contact me, they can contact me as well through there at DontUseMySweaterLikeATowel.com.
And, you know, for all of those who are listening, her link is going to be posted to my website, as all of the guests are, under journeyswithrebecca.com. So just click on the link. It'll take you right over to her website. Please check it out. She's got a delightful book, and you've hinted that you're in the process of your second one. So here on the air, we're going to offer you, when you get that one done, please let us know. We'd love to have you come back and do a follow-up on your second book. That would be just so fun and so awesome. I think you've got something really good going here, Jennifer. I really appreciate the information. I do.
Well, thank you.
And you've been a wonderful guest, and I know for everyone out there, again, if you have any questions for her or comments, or you want to purchase the book, you can either hit my website or her website, Don't Use My Sweater Like a Towel, and it is The Stain-Free Guide for Dating and Mating in the 21st Century. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with us today. We have so enjoyed it.
And thank you for having me.
All right. You guys don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca. As a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, let me help answer your life's questions. Schedule your personal and private reading appointment with me. Call 1-888-958-2768 or log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Where will your life's journey lead you?
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Thank you to my wonderful guest today, Jennifer Kelton. Don't use my sweater like a towel, the stain-free guide for dating and mating in the 21st century. What a delightful guest. You can also get some more information at her website, which is www.don'tusemysweaterlikeatowel.com. And thank you, each and every one of you, for listening. If you would, take a moment now and check out the wonderful sponsors of Journeys, and that's Fate Magazine, www.fatemag.com. And please visit my website for more information on how you can become a sponsor of the show. And while you're there, of course, you'll find all the latest Journeys news and information. You will also find any special events that will be coming up. Speaking of special events, I will be traveling around the country facilitating workshops. So if you're interested in hosting one, would like to attend one in your city, or would like some additional information, please contact me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. And that is the same address that you can use if you wish to schedule a private appointment with me for a reading. It is mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. And I do encourage every one of you out there that is listening to let me know what you think of the show, or the guest, or if you have a suggestion. Again, email me, Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. Or a new feature is that you can leave me a message on my comment line, which is 913-828-5559. In the next few weeks, we're going to have some very exciting guests coming up, Walter Cruttenden and Nahu. Please check out that website, the website for those guests that have been on in the past. Very delightful. I thank each and every one of you again for listening, and to all the affiliates and sponsors of Journeys. So until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night. Thank you.